reacted angrily when the Brussels bureaucracy issued guidelines which seemed to bore Israeli regime bodies operating in occupied territory from reviving EU funding. Little noticed at the time, the guidelines actually contain a loophole which has allowed the Israeli regime police force and other authorities headquartered in the occupied East Al-Quds to continue and even step up their cooperation with the EU. The Israeli regime's international accomplices are seemingly content with the siege on Gaza becoming as permanent as the belligerent military occupation that began in 1967. The cruelty of the siege and depravity of those who prolong it cannot be overstated. Gaza has long been subjected to various forms of Israeli regime closure and movement restrictions over the past several decades. More than two-thirds of the some 2.1 million Palestinians who live there are refugees denied the right to return to their homes and land in what is now called the fake regime of Israel. 16 UK charities called for an immediate end to the siege last week. This has been a devastating chapter in the decades-long fragmentation imposed on the Palestinian people, which continues to undermine their fundamental rights, the group's state. They add, with its sweeping restrictions on the entry and exit of people and goods, the deliberate policy of closure has resulted in the de-development of Gaza's economy. Gaza's population is now impoverished, with some of the highest unemployment rates in the world and more than 60% requiring food assistance. The Zionist regime's siege has had disastrous effects on the lives and health of Palestinians in Gaza, as noted by Physicians for Human Rights. Nearly 850 patients died while waiting for a permit to travel outside of Gaza for life-saving treatment, according to the group. Physicians for Human Rights states that around one-third of applications for children requiring medical treatment outside Gaza were delayed or denied between January and September last year. Some 40% of boys and girls in Gaza who received medical treatment outside the territory in 2020 did so without their parents, who must also apply for Israeli regime permits to accompany their children. This is despite how the vast majority of applications for travel to access healthcare treatment were for appointments at Palestinian hospitals in East Al-Quds and elsewhere in the West Bank. According to Physicians for Human Rights, hence, accompany permits and accommodation inside the occupied territories are relevant, if anything, in very few cases. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime prevents Palestinian medical professionals from leaving Gaza for training, thereby further reducing the capacity of the highly strained healthcare sector in the territory. Physicians for Human Rights urges the removal of the Israeli permit system and the blockade over the Gaza Strip and calls for an end to the occupation. These measures are necessary for ensuring that the Palestinian healthcare system can develop as an independent, autonomous, and sustainable unit, and that all Palestinians have access to advanced medical treatment.
Iranian Radio. Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. You are listening to analysis on the most important events taking place in the Islamic calendar. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Alavi. Sayyid Alavi, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to
you. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My salams to you and the dear audience. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you very much.
So for today's discussion, we want to talk about the important concept of isma, or if you could roughly translate it into English, is the infallibility or immaculateness of the characters of Prophet Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt. So now the main question is first with the definition of the isma. Shaykh, let's start with you. How do you define isma for us?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you want to define isma, isma means to believe in this principle in Islam that the imams and the prophets commit no sin in their lives and makes no mistakes.
Okay.
Why? Because if they make any mistakes in their lives, so then we can make this conclusion from those mistakes that they might make mistakes in delivering the message of Allah to the people as well. Because you, the one who is committing sin, the one who is making mistakes, the one who is like other people, ordinary people, making mistakes in their lives, the question is that why should the other people follow them? If they are like us, making lots of mistakes in their lives. And there's no superiority for them over us, over the other people, then why should the people trust them? Why should the people follow them? Then it is impossible to trust a person who is making mistakes, because he is the guide. He has to guide us into the right path, making no single mistake.
But there is still the potential of doing a sin or mistake in the mind and heart of even a Prophet Muhammad.
Of course.
But because of lutfullah, because of the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person does not let himself to do such an act, isn't it?
Of course. Let me give you this example. It's very easy. It's very
Because we are not talking about the we are not talking about the non-existence of a sin. Is it? The sin exists.
Sin exists.
The power
yeah.
of sinning and the satanic power exists.
Of course,
isn't it?
They have this capability to commit sin. That is true.
Okay.
You know, look at, for example, suppose that you are a principal in a school. And there are lots of kids in that school. Are you able to act like those kids in the yard or not? Of course, you are able to do that. But you never do that in that school.
Because of your status.
Because, because of your position, because you're the principal.
Okay.
So you are able to do that, and you know that, that you can do that, but you never do it in the whole life.
That's all right.
Why? Because you know that this action must not be performed by you in the school. Same is the case with the imams and with the prophet. Mm-hmm. The prophets and the imams, they are able to do those wrong things.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they do not do. They control themselves.
Okay.
Because they know their position.
Yes.
And they know their responsibilities.
Okay.
So that's why they do not commit sin.
And their risala was to remove the sins from the society. Course, yeah. As we could see, yeah, in the life of the, we can say, most of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. Their, yeah, main slogan was to remove the sins and doing the sins and the commitments and the grounds that are paved, yeah, in order to do sin.
Can I just add a point to what the Sheikh said? It is important to understand that a ma'asum is not forced by Allah. Mm-hmm. I want to make that clear.
Okay.
Or unable to commit sins, as our dear Sheikh mentioned. But he or she keeps away from sins by his own power and free will. Mm-hmm. A ma'asum, a person who has reached the level of infallibility, mm-hmm, keeps away from sin because of his or her deep understanding, ma'rifah.
Is it from day one?
Of how sin harms. Yes.
Day one.
We say, okay, from day one, because day one their wujud, okay, uh-huh, their existence, okay, has that capacity.
And nowadays,
as a child, okay, they have that ma'rifah.
Nowadays, when you refer to, for example, these physicians, they say that even the infant, the embryo in the womb of the mother, has the capability after 4 months of understanding the surroundings, the sound, this and that. So it's very much dependent upon the father and the mother of not doing the sins too, isn't it?
Yes, very good example.
So it has
an effect. Has an effect.
So this means that prophets of Allah and also infallible imams, the Ahlul Bayt, are not prone to doing any sin or types of mistake. We'll talk about, of course, the mistake, yes, part too, from day one.
From day one.
And it is not dependent.
Their parents. Okay. What about their parents?
The parents too.
The parents too?
Yeah.
All right. They're ma'asum too.
Especially about Prophet Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt. Yeah.
So they're infallible too. So all the way to Prophet Adam.
At least they were pious, isn't it?
Pious, yes. Uh-huh. So Isma has different levels. Mm-hmm. Different levels. Hudud. Okay. So and we will talk about it, yes, when, yes, we reach that part, okay, inshallah. So that is the point that I wanted to make clear, that they have a ma'rifah from early childhood, that what is good, what is bad, and they go according to their ma'rifah. Right.
Okay.
That there's inner super consciousness that they have. Mm-hmm. The different levels of consciousness,
okay,
they have the super consciousness.
That's all right.
They're aware and they have tawajjuh, awareness, 24/7.
That's right.
But then we would talk about the
of course,
hudud,
you know,
the limits.
For example, about Islam, Prophet Muhammad reached Nabuwwah at the age of 40. What prepared the ground for him to be a prophet? For sure, one of the criteria was not committing a sin.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We believe in that, yes.
Even that. I mean, in terms of the social life,
right,
and in terms of the cultural life, the, right, political life, Prophet Muhammad did not do any mistake or, for example, wrongdoing. So maybe not committing a sin is one of the primary preparations to become a prophet too. Of course,
right,
before being selected divinely as a prophet. Also,
right,
about the infallible month.
There has to be a spiritual maturity.
Maturity, that's all right.
And then the prophets, mm-hmm, when they reach that spiritual maturity, uh-huh, they were selected.
That's all right.
Now, Sheikh can maybe add, okay, a couple of more points.
Yes.
But it's very, very important here that to understand that even me and you,
yes,
have degrees of infallibility.
Mm-hmm.
For example, even in our thoughts,
mm-hmm,
more so the Tariq al-Awla, the prophets and the higher pious, okay, individuals. Why? Let me give an example, and I apologize for this example.
Okay.
But none of us here right now in the studio would not think about going naked in the streets,
okay,
of Qom or Bahrain or,
okay,
Sweden or wherever.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we also, to a certain degree, infallible even in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Even at that level.
That's right.
So we all, human beings, have levels of infallibility.
This very much refers
to the... We need to work on it and make it higher.
I mean...
This is the difference between fitra and tabi'a, isn't it?
Fitra and tabi'a.
When you're referring to your own fitra, which is a divine light.
Yes.
You as the best creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can consider a level of purity and infallibility for yourself.
The fitra is pure. What about tabi'a? Is it different?
For example, I think if you want to judge or act according to your own tabi'a, you can do animalistic works.
Mm-hmm.
Even, for example, eating your...
That's your animalistic nature you're referring to.
Animalistic nature, yes.
Your animalistic nature, okay.
Yes, yes. For example, going naked, as the animals are naked, bruh.
And the animals have
the naked
clothes.
People.
They have clothes.
We have naked people nowadays in the world. Why not referring to their own fitra because of their surroundings? Let's get back to the main track of the topic. Now this is about committing sins. What about committing mistakes? For example, doing something wrong in my calculations or judgments or I don't know. The decisions that are made in my life as a leader, as a rahbar in a community, I'm going to do a mistake which affects the lives of the other peoples of the ummah too. What about that time?
You know, if you look at the responsibility of the imam and the prophet,
mm-hmm.
you know, the responsibility of the imam and the prophet is to guide the mankind towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the right path. What do we mean by the right path? It means that if you make a single mistake in this way,
mm-hmm.
okay, you will be deviated from the right path to the way of Jahannam and hellfire.
That's right.
So you see, the outcome of this mistake is to guide millions of people towards Jahannam.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a great loss for the all human beings.
Okay.
So since this responsibility of us is of such an important level or value,
mm-hmm.
that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even does not accept and does not allow
mm-hmm.
the leaders, the imams, the prophets to make even a single mistake in their lives. Because of what? Because the other people, when they look at the prophet, when they look at the imam, so you see that the person is making a mistake, or he made, mistakes in his life.
Okay.
So then how can you differentiate between, for example, the divine responsibility of this person and his ordinary life?
Okay.
It is impossible to differentiate between them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can say that, if he make mistakes in those, for example, things, in those, for example, part of his life, it is possible for him to make mistakes in this part as well. That's why when Ahlul Sunnah says that the Prophet is only masoom in receiving the messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then delivering the message.
Mm-hmm.
The question is that if this Prophet is making mistake
in the personal life,
other sayings and other actions mm-hmm. and other things.
Okay.
How can you differentiate that, he cannot mistake in these things?
Mm-hmm.
Because you do not know about the hidden part of his life.
That's right.
You do not have any access to the source of revelation.
That's right.
Then how can you how can you differentiate between them? It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Tashayyu or Shia Muslims believe that the Prophet and the Imam should be sinless and should not commit even any error and mistake in their lives. Because the other people cannot trust them.
So what about the references in the text of the Holy Quran referring to some of the incidents that are Ayatul Khatab or Atab to the Prophet Muhammad? Referring to Prophet Muhammad, for example, in Surah Al-Tahrim, considering the story that took place between the wives of Prophet Muhammad and one of the wives' complaints. And then finally, in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a threatening, warning tone, warns Prophet Muhammad that why did you make something haram as we made it halal for you? So what about these cases? And so many other references in the text of the Holy Quran and the stories that are talked about in the history about, for example, selection of the governors or, for example, consulting with a person during the history, which showed that, for example, if Imam had enough knowledge about that specific case, he did not need consultation to the others or something like that. What about these references, brother?
You know, a prophet and Imam, of course, their knowledge is, of course, a divine knowledge, a kind of specific or special sort of knowledge that we do not have this kind of knowledge. Of course, mm-hmm. it is.
Okay.
But at the same time, the process of leading the people and governing and ruling over the people, it should be done its own in its own natural way. Mm-hmm. It should be performed naturally.
Okay.
In its natural process, maybe some governors might make mistakes.
Okay.
Might commit some sins.
Mm-hmm.
As it happened thousands of times in the life of the prophets and the imams.
Okay.
So it does not go to the imam himself.
Mm-hmm.
It does not go to the prophet himself. Or sometimes, for example, the wives, the children of the prophet, mm-hmm. the household of the prophet maybe,
okay.
make mistakes, commit sins. It does not go to the prophet himself.
That's right.
If sometimes there is itab to the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or to the other prophets,
okay.
it doesn't mean that the prophet committed sin.
Mm-hmm.
It has some lessons as ibrah
mm-hmm.
for the others. It has kind of lessons to the other people that, oh, people, you should understand that this is the position of the prophet.
That's right.
And prophets should not do such a things. If
okay.
he did such and such, that will be the consequences.
Now, the
and
next...
It's kind of warning to the people.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Alevi,
thank
for
you.
Presence in the program. Viewpoints talking about the concept of Isma, or the infallibility of Prophet Muhammad and the infallible imams. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Also a YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and on the threshold of the morning month of Muharram, we present you a wise saying from the immortal martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Whoever uses symbolism in religious matters will always remain in confusion, deviated as he stumbles off the right path, sticking to deviation wherever he goes, straying off the right course, and saying bad and worthless things.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran by shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Just like humans and animals, plants get sick too. But what do you do with an ill plant? An Indian man has found an answer to that. He has opened an emergency room only for plants in Amritsar, a city in India's Punjab state. A tax officer and his wife have set up the Pushpa Tree and Plant Hospital. In Pushpa, they have expert biologists and tree lovers on hand to provide the so-called sick patients with their essential nutrients. The clinic aims to treat any and every disease and even has an emergency vehicle on call for unhealthy trees around the city. The officer's wife says, just as we humans breathe, and need cures, plants also bleed, breathe, and need cures.
We provide approximately 32 various services for plants and trees, like if there's a nail in the tree, how to take out that nail, deep poisoning of the trees. Yes, you heard it right. There are people who poison the trees. Again, if the tree is not bearing fruits, there's an attack of mealybugs or another insects. That's also cured here. If the trees or plants are dying and you're unable to take care of them, even that problem is sorted out.
Only a month into the hospital's operation, Rohit Mehra and his team of 20 volunteers have already received more than 300 queries. The hospital is also completely free of charge.
Some gardens are decorated with genomes and other cute ornaments, but this garden uses tank debris to stand out amongst others. The intention of the gardener isn't to have the most army-themed pitch. Valerie actually tried to remove the tank, but ultimately because of its size and weight, it was impossible. So he just let it stay. The owner says he is used to having the tank there, even though it reminds him of hard times. Next to the wreckage, this family has planted cabbage and potatoes, which they harvest and use each year. The tank was left over from the war between Russia and Ukraine that began earlier this year. British paleontologists have made an exciting fossil discovery which has been identified as the earliest known animal predator.
It's quite a large fossil. It's the preserved part is at least 20 centimetres tall, and it would have lived attached to the seafloor bottom. But it's a broken specimen, so we actually don't know how large the entire colony is. This is only a fragment of it.
Wilby says the animal had a stalk and a cup on top with little tentacles, which most likely used to catch food out of the water. The ancient animal is related to sea anemones, jellyfish and corals, and pushes the known existence of these species back to 20 million years. Wilby explains the fossil displays a key point in the evolution of animal. The fossil is said to be around 560 million years old and was discovered in Charnwood Forest, northern England, amongst over 1,000 other fossils.
Summer heat is here and zoos are working to not only keep visitors cool, but animals safe during the hot weather. A Belgian zoo takes extra precautions to help animals survive a fierce heat wave that has left Western Europe sweltering. A Pierre Deser Zoo, located in Wallonia in the province of Hainaut, provides animals with frozen food, fruit suspended in water and extra showers. It has also created extra shaded areas with good ventilation along with water points to ensure animals have access to them. Zookeepers say managing animals in high temperatures requires good forward planning. Zoos across the world have a variety of responses to keep animals cool, so we humans are not the only creatures who feel significant stress during the hot months. Animals, too, are impacted by it.
Iran's city of Rafsanjan has hosted an international talent contest dubbed Stage Stars. The event is aimed at providing a chance for stage talents from across the world to come in the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali reports from Rafsanjan. Let's check it out.
This is a global stage for talents. The fifth International Stage Stars Festival wrapped up with the announcement of winners, who have been competing in four categories of singing, voice acting, show hosting, and sound impression. The top performances from each category won the golden mic and a cash prize.
The festival was a place for more serious competition between those who have a say in a stage performance. I'm so happy to be chosen by the jury as the best show host of the contest.
It was an amazing event for talents. I'm so glad to be part of this. Talents from all across Iran and many parts of the world competed in the festival, so winners should be proud of themselves.
Held in Iran's city of Rafsanjan, the two-day event brought together participants from 14 countries, including Iran, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Nigeria, and Turkey, to flaunt their neck for stage performance.
The scale of this contest is global. Many of us participants did not have any idea we could be stand-up comedians or show hosts. But when we got on stage here, we ourselves discovered our own talents.
I really love that, seeing that all people around the world are coming here and presenting themselves. It's a very great feeling. Of course, they will be progressed and they will develop yourself when they will get the result.
The jury is comprised of top Iranian actors, TV presenters, and voice artists. They say the competition has been tough, and those who stood out are real stage stars.
We tried our best to pick talents who really acted like professionals on stage. Not only should they care about the standards and principles of a stage performance, but they must innovate, improvise, and stand out.
This festival acted like a university for stage talents. It taught a lot of lessons about a stage to participants, especially for those who failed to win the contest.
Organizers say this contest is not just about scouting for stage talents. They say the event helps shine a spotlight on talents and lead them to their community.
The fifth Stage Stars Festival is aimed at bringing stage talents to light. Many of the participants already have a few years of experience, so this stage is not supposed to discover them, but to springboard them to a higher level in their careers.
All of the contestants, even those who come from foreign countries, must perform in Persian. However, organizers plan to include other languages in the upcoming editions of the festival.
To those who won the golden mic here, this is a dream come true. But they say, aside from the prize, Stage Stars has marked a milestone in their pursuit of success, since they have now come under the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali from the city of Rafsanjan.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Age is just a number when it comes to pursuing your goals. That's what 98-year-old Italian man Giuseppe Paterno has proven. Paterno has become the oldest university graduate in his country for the second time. In July 2020, he was graduated in history and philosophy from the University of Palermo. 2 years on, he's now got a master's degree in the same subject. Paterno grew in a poor family in Sicily and always had a desire for learning. But he was unable to go to university at a young age. He finished high school aged 31, 6 years after he got married. Paterno's love to study or for study never stopped, making him enter the university in his 90s.
The biggest and brightest supermoon of 2022 has risen with a crimson hue above horizons across the globe. It's also known as a buck moon because it falls in July. The name does not come from its appearance. You won't see the shape of a deer on the moon's surface or anything. It refers to something that happens in nature at this time. It's called a buck moon because the antlers of male deer or bucks are in full growth in July. Supermoons occur when a full moon comes closest to Earth in its orbit. This is not the last supermoon of 2022. There will be another in August, marking the final supermoon in this year's set of four. During a routine X-ray examination of one of Van Gogh's paintings, art conservators at the National Galleries of Scotland have discovered a secret self-portrait.
When we saw the X-ray for the first time, of course, we were hugely excited, absolutely thrilled to bits. Such a major discovery of an alternative composition happens once, twice in a conservator's lifetime.
The self-portrait was found during an examination of an 1885 painting by Van Gogh as the museum was prepping for an upcoming exhibition on Impressionism. Hidden from view for over a century, the self-portrait is on the reverse side of the Dutch artist's painting called The Head of a Peasant Woman. It was found beneath cardboard and layers of glue. Van Gogh is known to have often reused his canvases, working on their reverse side as well.
When he took the painting to Paris, he didn't have very much money. He was scrabbling around and decided clearly to use the back of these series of paintings that he'd brought with him from the Netherlands to Paris to explore self-portraiture for the first time.
Experts at the museum believe the materials covering the self-portrait were applied in the early 20th century before the art went on display. Art historians say when Vincent van Gogh was low on money, he took to painting on both sides of his canvases, but over the years, some of his reverse side paintings were covered up and lost. The X-ray image will feature at the Royal Scottish Academy in Edinburgh starting in July.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about Satan in the view of Islam. Please be with us. Today, Friday, is the 29th of Zilhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Mordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is verses 41 to 42 of Chapter Al-Hijr from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qala hadha siratun alayya mustaqim.
Allah said, this is a path of return to me that is straight.
Inna 'ibadi laysa laka 'alayhim sultanun illa man ittaba'aka min al-ghawin.
Indeed, my servants, no authority will you have over them except those who follow you of the deviators.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Iblis announced that he would mislead all except selected devotee individuals. In this verse, Allah remarks the reason as to why Iblis does not have the power to dominate his servants is because of his straight path and his way of treatment. That is, Allah's way of treatment is such that He Himself guarantees their protection. And this does not imply that Iblis would have nothing to do with them. On the contrary, he might not be in a position to exercise any power over them. Satanic cults are alive and kicking as never before. Satan was as confused as he was wrong about the most fundamental things in life. For instance, he blames Allah for sending him astray, while at the same time, he promises that he himself will send people astray. According to some commentators of the Holy Quran, he wavered between fatalism and notion of absolute free will. Satan knew what and where the truth lay, but since he refused to comply with it, he was keen to obscure it and obscure all the avenues leading to it. He wanted to muddle and confuse the truth, making it neither fully known nor knowledgeable. Seydin's case additionally shows that knowledge alone is not enough to attain faith. More than that, especially from immaterial spheres, is required. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with studying various ways of satanic temptations. Elsewhere, Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam indicated in this way, أَلَا وَأَنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَدْ جَمَعَ حِزْبَهُ وَاسْتَجْلَبَ خَيْلُهُ وَرِجْلَهُ. Certainly, Satan has collected all his party members, وَاسْتَجْلَبَ خَيْلُهُ, and has collected all his associates in order to mislead the believers from the right path. Now we find that in the book Nahj al-Balagha, there are many indications in this regard. In contrast to the people of Satan, we find that there is Hezbollah. I mean, Hezbollah means, I mean, the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who follow the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Holy Quran, it's indicated, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كان آباؤهم أو أبناؤهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم. أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه ويدخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم عنه وردوا عنه أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون. The Holy Quran says that those people who follow the divine indications, they belong to the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beware that the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the felicitous. Thank you very much.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
On the continuation of best strategies that we have known in the series of today's special, we're rich to arrogance, different from kibr, of course. Arrogance is thinking one is safe from the punishment of Allah in this world and in the hereafter. Satan convinces some people that because they do such and such great deeds, they are the best and will definitely go to Jannah and paradise. We can never be so sure of ourselves and our deeds. We do not know in what condition we will die. We need to humble ourselves and always rely on Allah and make dua and hope for His mercy to let us enter the paradise, inshallah.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi.
How to defeat Satan? One step is watching your tongue. Ever had one of those times when you said something awful to someone and wished you didn't? Maybe they provoked that response out of you, or maybe you were just in a bad mood at that time. Whatever happens, remember that one of the tools of Satan to sow the seeds of discord among us is through our speech. Someone hurt you and you lashed out. Or your parents upset you and you said hurtful things. Even though we can sometimes justify what we say to others, you should remember that good speech is a characteristic of a good Muslim, and Satan does nothing but stir fight amongst people. Watch your tongue and your temper. And if anyone tries to push your buttons, seek refuge from Satan and maintain your peace.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states within the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, أَنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوًا فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Shaitan is your greatest of enemy. Therefore declare him as your enemy. Declare him as your greatest of enemies. I remember when I was growing up, I had a friend, a good person, who just simply went to a Lakers game. Now, this is something very normal. He went to a Lakers game with a bunch of friends. And I guess in the parking lot, they had an encounter with some people. Still, very reasonable, very simple. When we get angry, the shaitan comes and whispers in our ears, in our heart. We feel the whispers. He's pushing us. What is the story behind the whispers of shaitan? I'm sure you all recite the last chapter within the Holy Quran, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. The one who whispers in the hearts and the minds of people. He doesn't whisper in my ears, but he whispers within my inner existence. So who's Waswas al-Khannas? What's the story behind this? The last chapter within the Holy Quran was revealed after this ayah was revealed. What is the ayah? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. And tell my servants that have drowned themselves in sin, not to give up hope with Allah, to seek repentance, to come back. And Allah shall forgive all their sins. The most beautiful verse in the Quran. When this verse was revealed, Shaitan called all his troops. All his troops, he said, gather. Have you read the verse in the Quran? Allah says he will forgive all the sins. How can we counter this? So each one of his troops, each one of his allies, the shayateen, began to say something. Until this one, this evil, al-waswas al-khannas, the repetitive whisperer, is one of the allies, one of the shayateen. His name is al-waswas al-khannas, the repetitive whisperer. Came and he said, I will whisper in their hearts until they commit the sin. And then I will whisper in them, I will whisper in their hearts until they procrastinate repentance.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic, that is the difference between Satan and Iblis and the concept of both of them. So we meet you soon. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time. And fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi. محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله. الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.